In the name of Jesus, amen. Before we play the video, just a little bit of a... It's called The Power of Vision and Relationship Skills. It talks about God wanting to give us vision for certain things that we'll go through. And the reason he gives us vision is so we can... It's like, okay, so that's from you. So we can have that. Okay? As we're fellowshipping with the Lord, he puts a vision in us for healing. He puts a vision in us for more intimacy with him, whatever the vision is. The purpose of that, and we'll go through several of them, 5 or 10 of them, something like that, is to receive those gifts, free gifts. But the other side of that is we have to prepare our hearts for that. And I have a little, just a funny story that you don't have in front of you, but just imagine you're sitting in your home, and some angels pull up to your home with a beautiful cart full of fantastic gifts outside your home. Okay? And they're gifts from God. And you look out the window, and they're more amazing than you can possibly imagine. And so the angels start bringing them into your house, and they get up, and they look in your door and say, "There's no room in your house for these. Your house is too crowded. We can't bring these gifts in. You have to prepare your house. You have to get rid of some of the stuff." And that's the way it is with the Lord. Prepare our hearts. The Lord speaks and says, "Please cast out that old stuff so I can give you eternal treasures that you really need." So even though God is offering us treasures in these visions, we have to prepare our hearts. We have to make sure. I know Carol was preaching to a group of people in underground church in China one time, and she says, "God knows every closet of your heart. You can't hide it. Amen. He knows. And you got to clean those out so he has room to put them in there."
But how do we clean it out? We can't. Only God can. But we can get into his presence, and he has an amazing vacuum system.
Look at Proverbs, this single sheet, Proverbs 16. This is in the Amplified Bible. It's a single sheet. You got one?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, everyone got one? This is from the Amplified Bible. And it takes a little bit to... What's God talking about here? It says, "The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to us, man." So, what we decide to meditate upon, what we decide to think about, is our responsibility, right? But from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. So, in other words, that's again, clearing out our mind from old junk so the Lord can speak. And so he can give us vision. We have that orderly thinking, godly thinking. "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, so shall your plans succeed, be established, and succeed." So, there's a way to clean out the closets. Roll your works upon the Lord, and then he causes your thoughts to become acceptable, in line with his. So what we're talking about is, in this, my little introduction in Proverbs 16, is not real heavily emphasized in the lesson. That's what I wanted to make it clear up front. It's about cleaning out the closets so that the gifts God wants to give us have room to come in. Everybody with me?
Transform our minds is through the Word of God. And the Word says that when you meditate on the Word, it will transform your mind. And so we have to meditate on it. But that's our choice, because God won't take the Bible and throw it down our throats. We have to choose to spend some time with it, spend some time in worship. In some way, we have to plug in. And when we plug in, then God begins to work.
Do we all have the Holy Spirit in here? Yes. But sometimes we can block Holy Spirit right about here, not let him into our thinking.
Stinking thinking.
Okay. Power of vision. I want to plant a vision in your heart that will give you a powerful craving to strengthen your relationship with God. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will bring peace, freedom, and prosperity of all kinds, and most of all, will bring you into an intimate, real-time fellowship with Jesus. He will become more and more real to you. You will feel and hear him speak to you on a regular basis. However, such a relationship requires some real discipline on your part. All relationships require discipline. All relationships require discipline. There's a lady in here this morning, works at Must Ministries, that told us about a little boy who was definitely hurt. I'm not going to go into detail, but as my wife strongly suggested, who's kind of a mother's mother, that little boy was craving to be close to somebody. It had been cast off. That little baby just wanted to be close to someone. It's that love. And so it's a discipline in our heart to want to be close and express that, because he wants to be close to us. And he wants to hear us say, I want to be close to you. Hello, Jerome. You gonna sing for us? Thank you, Jerome. We'll see you.
Jerome, thank you for coming by.
Derek?
Yeah.
Can I make a statement to
what you're saying? Please, please, please,
please. When I was in Russia, a lot of the orphan children, they're not, when they're babies, we go into the areas where they were babies. And, of course, we'd pick them up and love them. But they really didn't want us to hug them very long because they would quit crying. And I was asking Guya, why is that? And she said, how come they didn't really want us to hold them and love them? It's because they didn't want the children to realize that there was love like that. I mean, from her scenario, because they don't have time to love on them. So the children are deprived of it.
Put that with our relationship with God, and that's the deal. Okay. Vision brings discipline. Where there's no revelation or vision, the people are cast off. Restraint, discipline. Be happy, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there's no revelation, where there's no vision, the people are cast off. The human psyche has been created to operate in vision, or in other words, in hope. Hope and vision are basically the same thing. The first thing God said to Adam as a way of blessing them was to speak vision. Then God blessed him, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. That was a seed. The word of God was a seed, and it went into Adam and Eve as a vision. While this book, this is from Free to Be You, is majoring on becoming free from the bondages that are manifested in ungodly lifestyles, you will see as you read on, but the true bottom line issue is improving your relationship with God. That and that alone will make you a free person. Developing and improving your relationship with God requires discipline on your part. God has done everything. He's done everything. Now it's your task to appropriate his wonderful work through intimate relationship. It's like the cart pulling up to your house. I've got everything you need, guys, but there's no room in your house to put it in. Okay? Clean out your house up here. Clean it out. So I can put vision in there. All that is written in this chapter is a gift from God. Everybody say a gift from God. By giving the Holy Spirit. I think, Reggie, do you have another lesson? I think the one I have is older. I've got a couple changes in this one. By giving the Holy Spirit to inhabit us. All that's written in this chapter is a gift from God by giving the Holy Spirit to inhabit us. Just think about that for a minute. When the Holy Spirit inhabits us, all the gifts are with it. They're all there. They're in there. But we got to get the thinking cleared up. Nevertheless, it's our responsibility to cooperate with him, and it does require discipline on our part. Okay. The human psyche has been created in vision. In other words, hope. I read. Well, this book is majoring on becoming free from... I read that. Okay. Down to, near the bottom of page one. Forgive me for having a little lesson there. Discipline requires vision, as stated in Proverbs 29:18. Most people realize that in order to succeed, a vision is needed. When a doctor gives you medicine, you go through the discipline of taking it because you have a vision to be healed. When you report for work each day, you do the work even if you do not like it because you have a vision of being paid. Amen? When you go to the field and perform the hard task of reaping the harvest, you do it because you have a vision of eating. I would like to cast a vision in your heart that I pray will cause you and me to become more disciplined with our relationship skills with God. You know, it's like a husband and wife. You talk to marriage experts, there's a discipline of keeping that relationship right. It's not just automatic. Hey, good morning. You know, it's more than that. Just look at the promises listed below for such discipline. Okay. Vision number one, the vision for peace and freedom. 2 Peter 1:2 in the Amplified Bible says, may grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice all these wonderful benefits come through knowing God personally. Now look at what a peace, perfect well-being, spiritual prosperity. Who would like to be free from fears? That's a big one. You know, when I first got saved, God sent me a David Wilkerson lesson from one of Carol's friends that cleared me from guilt immediately. I was so burdened with guilt when I got saved. And I was driving down Roswell Road one time and said, God, if you cleared me from guilt, clear me from fear. He said, that's going to take a little longer, Larry. But it's possible. Moral conflicts. Okay. So that's gift number one. That's a vision. You have a... Take that first, 2 Peter 1:2. Take this home and meditate upon it and say, I want that. That's God's vision for me. Number two, the vision for godly prosperity. Beloved, 3 John 1. Pray you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. In other words, as the way your soul prospers, so I want you to prosper. So I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Notice, prosperity in temporal matters is the result of your soul's prosperity. The prosperity of your soul comes by maintaining an intimate relationship with God. Prosperity in God's eyes is very different than the world's definition. God sees crucifixion as a success. He preordained the crucifixion of Jesus for the salvation of whoever accepts it. He considers persecution, hardship, and sacrifice a success in his eyes. The important thing is not status, achievement, reputation, or profit. It is godly character and eternal fruit. The word prosperity in the New Testament means to have a good journey. Now, that can mean prosperity in some of those things, and achievements, reputation, or profit. But it's not necessarily, it's not like the world calls it. If the journey includes hardships, and I believe that our journey with God on this earth is supposed to include hardships. For many reasons, which you guys who are in class a long time, you know what that. I don't want to go into that right now. However, if the cross of Jesus converts that hardship into a resurrected blessing, if the cross of Jesus converts our hardships into a resurrected blessing, the cross of Jesus Christ can convert every hardship that we have into something good. Matter of fact, that's the only real way to get something good. is to die and be resurrected in this life. Remember one time I was walking to, right after I first got saved, I was walking to lunch one day. And it was close to Easter, and I saw the cross. And he said, "You know, Larry, make a picture of the cross." He says, "A lot of people come from the one side of the cross and get over to the into the supply side of the cross, like this. They try to, but you can't. You have to go through the cross. You have to go into death and get resurrected." So you have vision for peace and freedom. You have vision for prosperity. Vision for intimacy, God becoming real to you. This is probably the most important one. Ephesians 3:17. "May Christ through your faith," this is amplified, "actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts." Did you get that? I don't think we can meditate on that enough. God lives inside of us. Returning to normal is God living inside of us, being inhabited by God. And we just have to think about that every morning. Who lives in me? He lives in me. "May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love." This is God's vision for you. "That you may have the power to be strong and to apprehend and grasp with all the saints," God's devoted people, "the experience of that love." So it's not just kind of knowing about it. It's experiencing the love. "What is the breadth, length, height, and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves," practically through experience, "the love of Christ." That we should be able to actually experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Everybody get that? "That you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God. May you have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body holy, filled, and flooded with God himself." Of course, that's the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, it's God. Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death." Notice that God becoming real to you is mostly about his amazing love for you, personally. It may be hard to imagine, but God compares his love for you as a bridegroom longing for his bride. Do you feel unworthy? Drop it. Your bridegroom is longing for you. These are things I'm reading, but I wish you would take these home and meditate on these scriptures. Is it too warm in here? Is it okay? Is it too warm? Scott, can you help with the thermostat? I didn't play this video yet, did I?
That's okay.
This is the video's got to do with preparing your heart. Forgive me. Let's get the lights off.
Okay.
Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Yeah.
Wait, my thinking is thinking. Let me switch it again. As you do that, more of the Holy Spirit. Let's get rid of this habit. Let's get rid of these words. Let's get rid of this. It's His job, but we have to continue move the junk out of it, okay? Okay, I think we pick up on page 3. The vision to be like Jesus and be clean. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, or as His divine power has given us to us, all things, everybody say all things, that pertain to life and godliness. So that means that He can give us all things that we need to live this life and also character. Through what? To the knowledge of Him, through knowing Him, who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those promises you may be partakers of the divine nature. There's the vision. You can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, if you're a partaker in the divine nature and you go walking into a store, someone's going to feel it.
You're going to emanate it?
Well, sometimes they can just feel it. course, words help. Kindness helps. Helping people helps. But sometimes they just...
Discerning of spirit.
What's going on with this person, you know? Notice in the above scripture that knowing God, or that intimacy with Him, will bring us everything we need for life, our temporal needs, and godliness, our character. Number 5, the vision for fulfillment of your calling, purpose and eternal reward. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before time began. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is for the vision and fulfillment of your calling, purpose, and eternal rewards. Every one of you, every one of us, God has written your life in a book from before you were conceived to the end. And we don't have to try to find that out. We just have to keep moving with Him, and we'll start moving in that calling and purpose if we just keep moving with Him. Sometimes we don't have any idea what He's got in mind. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You guys like that? That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. So this is the work God's called you to do. It's not a matter of trying to figure it out, trying to stress out to do something. It's a matter of just staying in tune with Him, and He'll bring you into that work. And you'll say, whoa. Right, Joanne? I've got to share this. Joanne and Jimmy were in South Africa many years ago, and they took our Grow or Die book over there. And they gave it to a man named Jeffrey Nakuna, native. And Jeffrey told me on the phone personally, he says, you know, I thought all my life as a child I was saved until I read your book, Grow or Die, and then I got saved. Well, he read it about 50 times, and he translated it into one or two languages. And he's fervent about it. Very, very fervent about it. He's got about 7 or 10 farm churches that meet every Sunday morning on a farm somewhere, 10 to 12, 20 people.
You guys know Milan and Elmer May, our South African missionaries?
Well,
he's very involved in their churches that they built in order to teach the native people the Word of God.
Yeah, Milan has built about 7 churches already, and he's going to build about 14 more, I think. And there's thousands of people now that have started, or hundreds of people, it's going to be thousands, with Jeffrey teaching them. Now, what did she do? What did Jimmy and Joanne do?
She valued the Word of God, and she sees the Word of God in these books. It's not Larry's books. It's the Word of God.
But she didn't know she was called for that. They didn't know they were called for this.
The Lord has an amazing way of getting His Word out. It's His Word.
Well, Jeffrey was very fervent.
Very fervent. Yes.
And we asked him to help us. When we went back to the mission station that Milan had served on and worked for the pastor out of Johannesburg that had taken it over, we went there 3 different seasons, 3 different years. And that's how we got to know Jeffrey so well. And we really became fast friends with him and his wife, Tammy. And Jeffrey just fervently believed in the gospel, believed that God had a purpose and a plan for his life to get the gospel out. And he wanted to do whatever he could to do that. But we saw some holes. And in his in his theology. That's the word I'm trying to come up with. Because he had been to quote-unquote Bible school, but it just wasn't, all that he was doing was not sound teaching. And I knew that Grow or Die was very fundamentally sound. So I gave it to him. And the bait was,
there's some books back there.
Would you like to translate this, and there could be something in it for you?
He has.
Now remember something. All of these 20 books that Larry has written has come out of 33 years of teaching between Mount Perrin Central and here. The first 16 years was middle schoolers. And then the last, it's been 16 years now. It's been overcomers. So they have all of these books have come out of lessons that have come out of teaching here. So whatever you contribute, you know, makes a big difference in what's going on in the process of discipling others around the world, whether it be in Cuba or Kenya or South Africa or in other places that these books are going. And even our class, a lot of you don't realize it, but the lessons are going out, and also the audio. So what you're saying, unless it's too personal, we don't send that out. But you're ministering, and you're helping people.
If you guys want to see Jeffrey, go look at the ISOB Facebook. Look for ISOB Facebook.
He's got a little car.
He's got a car filled up with books.
He calls the gospel car, and the missions department has given him about $5,000 to have a printer, and he prints lessons. And last Wednesday night, he was teaching on the fruit. And they're getting something from the Word of God. And we just want you guys to pray for them.
Yes.
Now, Tom Yang will be here next Sunday from China, and they're in the underground. So you won't hear anything on the internet about this. But Tom is going to tell us a lot of that's going on over there. We've been there. We've seen how the people suffer and how they're hungry for the Word of God and discipleship in areas that they don't get it. You know, we've got Zondervan, we've got Bible bookstores on every corner, you know, but they don't have these kind of discipleship materials. So to them, to have these things, and Joanne was smart, she's a teacher. When she first went over there, she packed up a suitcase with things that she knew could be taught.
Right.
The whole idea is that
teacher.
We don't know what God's called us to. It doesn't really matter. But He's called each and every one of us with a calling. Just stay close to Him. It'll work out. Okay. I think I'm at the top of page 4. You may feel purpose in life and eternal rewards are far-fetched compared to what you're experiencing now. You may feel like if you could just be healed from the inner wounds that's causing the pain, your pain would be enough. The good news is that the two go together. Your healing and your present circumstances will bring God's best plan into your life for eternity. I cannot explain everything about eternal rewards, but the Bible is clear about their existence. We need to think about that more. I do know that to abandon yourself totally to God in every area of your life is the ingredient God needs to bring you into His purpose and thus eternal rewards. T. Austin Sparks, an old writer, an influential writer in the mid-1900s, covers this subject well in his book, Revelation of Jesus Christ. One small quote from this book makes it clear. He is over all, and that brings, whether world persecution or not, it brings spiritual conflict, it brings tribulation to life. It touches us everywhere, in our families, in our homes, in our businesses, and everywhere. This thing is touching us. If only we would let go of something, make some compromise, let down our standard, be not so utter for Christ, well, we'd have an easier time. Is it possible that you can, for the time being, but you cast away your crown? What he's saying here is that, hang on. Don't give in to the bad thoughts that come into your mind to do this or give up on that. Especially to give up when God gives you a vision or gives you a promise. For sure, Satan will come and try to make you give up. For sure. That's guaranteed in Mark chapter 4 about the parable of the sower, for sure. Right, bros? We have to go through it, don't we? Vision from God brought Gideon from bondage to freedom, to purpose and prosperity. Gideon was living a defeated life as an Israelite until God gave him vision. He had a very low self-esteem because Israel's enemies had been prevailing. He had a wrong image of himself. God knew how his own power could and would change Gideon. However, he needed to change Gideon's own self-image. God spoke those things that were not as though they were. God spoke those things that were not as though they were. That's the way he created the world. The more we fellowship with God, the more he is able to give us an accurate self-image of how he sees us. How he sees us is the truth, not how we feel about ourselves. That is hope. That's vision. And the angel Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Here's a guy that was hiding, trying to sift some wheat, hiding underground. And God came up to him and said, "Oh, you mighty man of valor." What? Talking to me? In the next few chapters in Judges, you will see that Gideon and God slowly but surely developed a deep personal relationship that resulted in Gideon being clothed with the Holy Spirit and being able to hear God at a very intimate level. Then God used him to overthrow the enemy that he and his people had in bondage. Your task. I suggest that you meditate upon the scriptures I listed above, and I'm serious about that. Take this home and use it as a Bible study. Speak them out, memorize them, and allow them to go deep in your heart and soul. Then begin to engage in the relationship skills as suggested. I say Appendix A, but below here where it says relationship skills. If you're just starting, take small steps. These small steps will build up momentum in your relationship skills. Momentum makes the next step easier. Think of an automobile. It takes less energy to move the vehicle from 25 miles an hour to 40 miles an hour than it does to move it from 0 to 10. This is called the law of inertia. In simpler terms, inertia means a body in motion tends to remain in motion. A body at rest tends to remain at rest. Also, the body in motion tends to keep the same course, while change requires great effort. If you are at rest and not moving in your relationship skills with God, then use the energy of your discipline to get on the proper course. If you do not have the passion for this relationship or the passion for the Word of God, then confess that to the Lord and ask Him to do new work in you. Now, these relationship skills, obviously I'm not going to have time to go into detail on all of them, but I want to cover them at least in title and maybe make a few comments on it. Relationship skill number one, make a firm decision to pursue the relationship. Offer yourself completely to God. This is your task to complete the mighty blood covenant offered to us by an awesome God. And then scriptures below, Romans 12, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:6, next page, Matthew 6:33. So number one relationship skills is make that decision. God, I don't want just some religion. I don't want some just church doctrine. I want to be close to you all the time. Number two, take time to listen. You must take in His word. Words are blood covenant containers. Words are blood. Your words coming out of your mouth, confessing your sin, puts your sinful personality into Jesus through the blood covenant. His words coming out of His mouth to you puts His personality through the blood covenant on you. Words are blood covenant containers. And then it goes below here, ways to discern whose voice you're hearing, testing to see if we're hearing God's voice, and ways that God speaks to us. Take time to listen. When we pray, we don't just yucky, yucky, yucky all the time. In a relationship, you got to stop talking and listen. A lot of people in any relationship will just govern the encounter with what they got to say and not listen. And it's okay to talk and then say, and then stop and let the other person contribute. Number three, take time to speak your words and your prayers. So not only listen, but you have to speak. Two-way journaling and being gut-level honest is an important way to increase your fellowship with God. Write down exactly how you feel. Honestly, with your blood covenant partner, Jesus will cause your sin to go on Him. You cannot and will not overcome any issue in life without this gut-level honesty. We suggest two-way journaling. This is a great way to allow the flow of the Holy Spirit to speak to you in personal, intimate things. In other words, two-way journaling is, God, this is how I feel. And then when you feel him leading you or guiding you or speaking to, then you write down, God said to me, 2 Corinthians chapter, whatever.
May I say something?
Yes.
Guys, this is very simple. It's not complicated. You know, the relationship with us in Christ is set up in a way like a marriage, husband and wife. Husband and wife, you need to talk to each other. You need to be honest with each other. You need to talk back and forth. You need to take that time to spend time. You know, the devil will say to it, you're so busy, but you don't have time. You talk to each other, and you lose touch, and you grow distant. And that's the enemy likes that. And that's the same way he does this with God. You're so busy, but have you noticed that what drew you to that person was that you could talk with them? You could sit down, they listen to you. Share and interchange, and they were kind of like a special friend that understood you. Well, that needs to be nurtured, because if it's not nurtured, you'll lose it. I mean, you'll live in the same house, but you'll be like, you won't know each other. God wants that with us. He wants us to set apart a time. And I know everybody's busy. I know, I get that. I get that. But you can get up early. You can get up early, and you can get alone, and you can get with God. And sometimes, if you're in a crisis, there's nothing else that will help you. You have to get up. It's 2 a.m. You got to get up, get alone, and you've got to have it, because that's where the power is. That's where it's at. And if you're in a husband and wife relationship, if you care about your marriage, you'll say, listen, we got to have some time. Let's go have a cup of coffee somewhere and let's talk. This is going on. This is going on. Listen to each other. Pay attention and listen.
And, okay, relationship skills. Take time. Take time to speak. You know, it's very powerful for us to speak the Word of God. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this, but two ways that I do this. If God has given me a promise, something to hang on to, I will continually speak that word. I'll put it in I'll continually speak it out, because God cannot speak on this earth except through a human tongue. Second way I do that is, I don't do this every single day, but most days, I'll go through the Psalms. Like today is the 19th? So I'll read out loud Psalms 19, Psalms 49, Psalms 79, Psalms 109, 5, and 109 and 139. But at the 19,
just works out the math.
That'll get you through a month. If you speak those out, David got into a lot of, when he wrote the Psalms, a lot of repentance. He got into a lot of warfare. And when you read about warfare in the Psalms, it's not warfare about killing your neighbor. It's warfare about killing your neighbor's demon.
And you know the crazy thing is when you pick up that word and you start reading, maybe the first Psalm or the second Psalm doesn't hit you. You just have to read it. But by the time you're in the third or the fourth, you've got more power to do something than you ever thought.
The bottom of page 6, part of taking time to speak is speaking your repentance. Repentance is extremely important. Say extremely important. Without repentance, you will not be able to hear God speak. Psalms 1, Proverbs 1, 23 and 24 says, if you will turn, repent, and give heed to my reproof, behold, I, wisdom, will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make my words known to you. It's so important to say, God, I got mad at that person at the store and I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. Over simple things. And when you do that, you feel so clean inside. If you really know that what that did is it put your, took the sin off of your brain and put it onto him. And then you're being cleansed inside. It's so, so important. Gut level, page 7. Gut level repentance is the key to maintaining intimacy with God. Page 7, the middle of it. Number 4, bottom of page 7. Take time to speak his words. We talked about this. The antagonist, Satan, and his assigned demons constantly are on task to come against your effort to relate to Jesus and to overcome. Only you can resist them. Jesus gave you authority and responsibility to speak his word against them. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your what? Your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. One idea for doing this, read the Psalms and Proverbs every day. It's right there in front of you. Number 5, meditation. Meditation on the word is very important and extremely invaluable. I quoted Joshua 1:8 above, which tells us to meditate day and night. How do you meditate? Well, you kind of, what you read, I read 5 Psalms this morning, and something in Psalms 19 really stood out, one verse. And I wrote it down somewhere. And I'm just going to maybe even put it in my pocket. And I got to meditate on that all day long. Maybe all week long. Because when you meditate on a scripture, you can't think stinking thinking. Right? Your brain only has room for one set of thoughts. So meditation on the word. Speaking the word as you drive, as you work. Whispering it out. Is so, so helpful. Let me read that second paragraph in meditation. Yes, Jill.
I had a perfect example of meditating on the word. I read the word morning and evening, so before I go to bed to get relaxed, I read the word. So one of the word that came to me in the evening, last evening, was Psalm 139, I think it's verse 20. Search me and try me, O Lord. Try my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, I couldn't think of a thing I did yesterday that might not be pleasing to him. But at 3:30 this morning, he woke me up, and I was kind of...
convicted.
Yeah. I lapsed back into sleep.
Not condemned.
And he showed me, you know, in a vision and in a dream that I was harboring a lot of resentment against my grandson, Jonathan, because the first week of February I had sent him this nice birthday card and this huge check, big one, and I hadn't heard a word. I thought, what kind of a daughter did I raise that? Did she raise children that are so ungrateful? And I was so upset. I sent her a message, and she said, well, I told you I would tell him to acknowledge it. And I said, well, that was the same messages, you know, again, but no response from him. So the Lord really revealed to me that, yes, I need to get rid of all resentment.
Amen.
And bless him. I don't know what he's involved in.
Resentment's
but
an easy one to get into. Thank you.
Resentment can sneak up on you.
But you see, because you read the word, and the word's the labor, and it'll wash you and clean you, and it'll wake you up, and it'll let you know that there's something there.
Look at the second paragraph. I'm sorry, speak.
Go ahead.
Second paragraph under meditation, number 5. Meditation on the word displaces and replaces your carnal thinking, which is a major feat. It also allows the word to get down deep into your heart. The word meditate is related to a cow chewing her cud. She chews it, swallows it, regurgitates it, and then starts the process over and over again. And again. This will allow the word to go deeply into your heart and will give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak something personal to you from the word. I believe that meditation on the scriptures that deal with the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is extremely valuable, especially when we're going through trials and sufferings. Number 6, fasting. Fasting is an important discipline. I'm not going to go into detail on that. Number 7, and the last one, to obey God. Ask God to give you something simple, something very small every day that you may obey. It may just be encouraging one another. It may be not driving down the same street that fed your addiction. It may be confessing your sin to Him. It may be taking a thought captive or forgiving someone, perhaps a financial gift. This is a big thing. John 14:21-23 says that when we obey His word, that He will reveal more and more of Himself to us. That's powerful. Once you've seen Jesus, relationship with Him will no longer be a discipline. It will be a passionate pursuit. Obeying comes across, and we teach kids, including grandchildren, wait a minute, are you building your house on the rock or on the sand? If you're building your house on the rock, that means you've heard Him speak, but you're not obeying what you heard. On the sand. And rain will come, trials will come, and you'll drown with them. But if you're obeying, if you're building your house on the rock, it will rain, problems will come, but you're on the rock, and Satan can't touch you. Amen? Carol?
Hi, everyone. I just want to encourage everyone to fill out a prayer card.
Yes.
Pray for each other for
the
week.
In that little box.
If you haven't been here, we started, there's an index card. You can just put a prayer on it. You can put your name on it. You don't have to put your name on it.
Right,
drop it
there.
In the box, and then swap it out for someone else, and that way we can pray for each other. I encourage you to do that.
Great idea. We've been praying for those cards.
I wasn't here last week, so I prayed for someone for 2 weeks.
Trish shared that she was a director of a recovery program in a Baptist church. So that's why she's so drawn to this class. So there is an element here of all of us who have recovered or are recovering from something. We set up this class 16 years ago on Revelation 12:11. We overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. We love not our lives to the death. It doesn't matter if people persecute us. Well, the whole idea was based on, we knew that there would be people that would be having to overcome addictions of all kinds and divorce, somebody in their, you know, going through pure hell and a death in the family or something had happened. With all of the things that go along with that. So the word of God will get you over. And if you'll meditate on it. And in Psalms 19 it talks about that the law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. And it's desired more than anything. So when you really get into the word of God, you will start hungering and thirsting for the word of God. Because it will change you in a way that nothing else will. And in the middle of the night, those scriptures will pop up and they'll speak to you. God will speak through His word. We're encouraging all of you. Many of you know this. I know there are people here who've had to overcome alcohol, addiction. They love the Lord, but they couldn't control the addiction. But they got a hold of the word of God and they memorized scripture. And that scripture eventually took over and completely controlled them, so that Jesus even stood beside somebody and said, "You'll never drink again." Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom from a plant. Whether it be tobacco or whatever's used in alcohol, God can free you. So that you can have freedom. And that's what it's all about. Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning, knowing that the clock is ticking and knowing that we're going down to worship service and wanting not to be late. And Father, I thank you for this wonderful lesson that my precious husband has prepared. And I ask all of us to take it to heart and to understand that in Proverbs 16:1 it says that the preparations of the heart belong to us. We can prepare our heart, or we can just let it grow into a trash can. But the preparations of the heart belong to us, and then the answer of the tongue comes from God right through us. It flows like a river. When we put God in under the faucet, the river begins to flow. Whatever situation we're in, Lord, you speak. You speak through your word. You speak through wisdom. You help us in everything. Lord, we're praying for all the missionaries that are traveling to be here for the Missions Festival. Like Benjamin and Andrew yesterday, they're on the flight today. Lord, we're asking you for traveling mercies and for safety. And Lord, that none of them catch the cold when they're here. Lord, we're asking we're just saying, Lord, don't let anybody get sick in the church or anybody around us, Lord, our family. Help us, Father, that we stay healthy. And that we stay healthy in the Word of God. We stay healthy in our marriages and our families. We want to thank you in advance. We want to thank you in advance for a worship service downstairs that lets us rekindle more and more and more of our fire for you and our love for you. Stir it up inside of us, Lord. Stir up the joy. We thank you in advance. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.